Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Menlo Park Dental Excellence, providing general dentistry with quality care to all patients, serving patients one at a time with no triple booking, flexible hours Monday through Saturdays, mpdentalexcellence.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. 2 years after the federal government came down with a heavy hand on the medical marijuana industry in California, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder is signaling the war is over, provided growers and retailers abide by strict regulations. This constitutes a major policy shift, but it's unclear how it's going to roll out in California. Local regulations are all over the place, for one thing. And even in places like Oakland, where the local government supported the industry and federal authorities cracked down anyway, the big question is, will they back off now? The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow has more.
The memo telling U.S. attorneys to back off is a direct response to initiatives in Colorado and Washington that decriminalized recreational marijuana use. But it will also impact California and other states where medical marijuana is allowed. Stephen D'Angelo operates Harborside Health Center in East Oakland. It's the largest licensed marijuana dispensary in the country, and the U.S. attorney for Northern California is trying to shut it down. D'Angelo isn't exactly declaring victory.
This memo does nothing for all of the people who have been arrested and prosecuted and imprisoned over the course of the last 5 years of the Obama administration, who were in fact in compliance with state laws.
The letter tells U.S. attorneys to focus on a handful of goals, including keeping marijuana away from minors. That's in line with the approach the U.S. attorney for Northern California, Melinda Hague, has been taking. Here she is in 2012.
When a dispensary comes to my attention that is close to a school or a park or a playground or children, that's a line I've decided to draw, and those are the dispensaries that I'm looking at.
Hague's office declined to comment yesterday on the new directive. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
A three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has unanimously concluded California may enforce a ban on conversion therapy designed to turn gay teenagers straight. The ruling found the new law does not violate the free speech rights of patients, professionals, or parents. The court ruling states, quote, "The fundamental rights of parents do not include the right to choose a specific type of provider for a specific medical or mental health treatment that the state has reasonably deemed harmful." The ban was supposed to have taken effect in January, but legal challenges blocked it. The Liberty Council, a Christian legal aid group, says it will appeal the ruling. After years of slow but steady improvements, public school students slipped a bit last year on state standardized tests. The tests gauge how well schools are measuring up to state and federal academic benchmarks. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tentakulis has the details.
The number of schools meeting the state's academic benchmarks went down last year from 53% to 51%. And this time, more elementary schools didn't make the grade. State School Superintendent Tom Torlakson blames years of deep budget cuts and a statewide recession. He points out middle schools and high schools are doing better overall.
Statewide, as you average it all out, it's a small dip. The vast majority of the gains that have been made over the many, many years have been held onto by our students and by the schools.
Torlakson says more districts are also changing their curriculum to meet new Common Core standards. Common Core are nationally crafted academic standards adopted by California and 44 other states. They go into effect next year, but many districts are already experimenting with different lesson plans. Deb Sigmund is the state's deputy school superintendent.
We did see some correlation between those districts that were implementing and some connection between specific drops in their scores and such. And the other thing is that, you know, our assessments aren't aligned to Common Core.
Which means in some cases, students are learning new things that aren't covered on the current tests. That's why the state will be transitioning away from the standardized testing and reporting system, also known as the STAR test. The next generation of tests will be designed to measure deeper thinking skills, with students writing out answers online instead of choosing from multiple choice options. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
The recent news that Chelsea Manning, formerly known as Bradley Manning, hopes to receive hormone therapy in military prison has sparked conversations about the treatment of transgender people behind bars. Today, as part of our first-person series, What's Your Story?, Janetta Johnson talks about what it was like to be a transgender woman in a men's federal prison.
It's a devastating experience being a transgender woman and being in a male prison. And people constantly telling you you're not who you are. I mean, after hearing this for so long, you start to question who you are, even to the extent where at one point I didn't even identify as human. Every single day, this guy would touch me inappropriately. This guy would pin me down and try to take advantage of me sexually. And it's kind of like a situation where you can't tell, because if you tell, you'll be considered a snitch, so you'll be further marginalized. Then when I got out of prison, and I got out on a Monday, and I ended up in the hospital on a Friday because I had a really, really bad panic attack and I couldn't breathe. It was just a very fearful situation, because all the negativity that I heard while I was in prison, I began to hear, you know, inside my psyche when I got out here. It took me about 3 months to get into mental health care, and that's too long. I'm currently employed at Transgender Gender Variant Intersex Justice Project, which is known as TGIJP, and I work with transgender people that are incarcerated or getting out of incarceration. It's kind of like a spiritual thing to me. It's like Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. Once you get out, you know what I'm saying, you got to go back and get some of the people and say, come on, let's go. Let's get out of this mess. You know, let's go find something different, something better.
That was Janetta Johnson for our health series, What's Your Story? Health is about more than the pills you take or how much exercise you do to stay out of the doctor's office. It's about how the industry in your town affects the air you breathe, what you or your neighbors are doing to make your community a healthier place, and it's about life changes that affect your well-being. So tell us your story. Email us at calreport@kqed.org. And that's the California Report for Friday, August 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller and Howard Gelman. The directors are Paul Lancour and Vinnie Tong. Our interns are Carly Naren and Rachel Marcus. The editing staff includes Tyke Hendricks, Dan Brecky, Alex Helmlich, and Julia McAvoy. Our producers are Nina Thorson and Kat Snow. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.